Welcome to Torti Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Bet, Chapter 12. In the previous perek, we saw Yirmiyahu's life being threatened by the people of his hometown Anatot, as they tried to feed Yirmiyahu poisoned food. Yirmiyahu begs Hashem to kill the perpetrators immediately, so that people will learn that the blood of the prophet is not cheap, and will listen more closely to his prophecies. Hashem does not agree. He says that the people of Anatot will get their punishment, but it will occur at the Chorban, along with everyone else's. What follows in Perek 12 is a perek that is arresting in its audacity and intimacy, whereby Yirmiyahu fights back against Hashem's decision and pushes him to reconsider. In this section, Yirmiyahu brings up the age-old question, why do bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? But with a twist, he's talking about his own life. He asks, why do bad things happen to me, the one person who's following God, me, the one who's putting his life on the line against the entire corrupt religious establishment, against the upper class, and against all the ordinary people, and everyone else, the ones who try to kill me, the ones who are clearly doing everything against Hashem, against the Torah, and against all sense of morality, they have easy and peaceful lives. Let's look at his words. He starts off in Pasuk Aleph in verse 1 with a very forceful Pasuk. Tzadik ata Hashem, he starts. Hashem, you are righteous. You are a tzadik. And then he follows that up with the words, Ki arive lecha, but I am going to fight you. Ach mishpatim adaver otcha, I am going to say judgments against you. Mishpat. And this is what I have to say. Madua derach v'sha'im tzalecha. Why is it that the path of the evil, the path of the wicked, is so smooth? Shalu kol bogdei baged. Those who are traitors, they live in shalva. They live in serenity. Then Yirmiyahu takes it a step further, and he says the following: Nitatam, you planted them. Gamsho rashu, then they grew roots. Yelchu gamasu peri, they went on and bore fruit. You are close to their mouths and far from their innards. Okay, let's figure out what this pasuk is saying. Yirmiyahu tells Hashem, you planted these people. It's your responsibility that they do bad things. How can Yirmiyahu blame Hashem in this way? How is it that Hashem is the farmer who planted the seeds of the wicked people? We know from all the metaphors of Sefer Yirmiyahu that Hashem is the farmer who plants a pure seed, and it's Bnei Israel who grow into a wicked people. Yirmiyahu is astounded at this in Perek Bet, and yet here he blames Hashem for planting and causing the evil. How is this possible? So he says, Karov ata b'fihem, you're close to their mouths. V'rachok mikilyotem, and you're far from their innards. Here, innards, kidneys, represent thoughts. He says, Hashem, you believe what they say. You believe how they put themselves out there. You believe their lies when they show themselves as good people, when we both know how bad they are. We both know that their thoughts, their plotting, they're terrible. You're acting like you don't know that. You're acting like a man, not like a God. And therefore, you're the farmer that planted them. It's your lack of action that allows them to do terrible things. And therefore, he follows in verse 3, Ata Hashem yidatani, Hashem, know me, tir'eini, see me, uvachanta libi itach. Hashem, I want you to understand my heart with you. Hatikem katzon litivcha, vahaktishem liyom hahariga. Here's his request, take them like sheep to the slaughter, and prepare them for their day of killing. First of all, we notice right away that Yirmiyahu is using language from the parak before, where he called himself a lamb led to slaughter. Here he asks that they be led like lamb to the slaughter. Yirmiyahu is asking Hashem to act in a way that's mida keneged mida, measure for measure. They took me, you take them. But let's go a little bit deeper. He asks Hashem, yadatani, know me, tir'eini, see me. Yirmiyahu is using words from his chosenness scene, where Hashem told him, before you were even born in the womb, I knew you. We've talked about this word know before, where it connotes knowledge, but also connotes a relationship. He says, Hashem, it seems like you care more about the bad people than you do about me. Show me. this relationship that you said you had with me. Show me that you see me. Show me that you pay attention to me. And I want to see this in the way that you protect me. You promised me in Perek Aleph that you would protect me. It's not enough for me to just live through this. I'm emotionally scarred. I want you to stand up for me. Hashem's answer is very cryptic. He says to Yirmiyahu in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Ket raglaim ratata v'yelucha v'ich tetchare et hasusim u'be'eret shalom atzaboteach v'ich ta'aseh v'go'on ha'yardein. If you can't outrun feet, how in the world are you going to outrun horses? U'be'eret, if you can't walk well in a peaceful land, a land that's relatively flat, what are you going to do in the marshy land of the banks of the Jordan River with all the reeds and all the thorns in your way? Basically saying to Yirmiyahu, it's going to get harder than this. And basically, he doesn't answer him. He just continues in verse 6 that your brothers, your household, everyone's going to turn against you. You have to stop being so trusting of them. You have to be more careful. Know that they're going to say things to you and know that you can't trust them. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why did Yirmiyahu include this section in Tanakh? He doesn't unlock any answers to the most perplexing philosophical problem of all. He does not succeed in convincing Hashem to punish the people of Anatot. He doesn't even get any comfort from Hashem. Hashem just tells him, you need to be stronger. This is going to happen again. Yirmiyahu loses the argument. Why does he put it in? The purpose of this section, however, is clear, and it may be the most important few psukim in Tanakh in terms of teaching us about our own relationships with Hashem. Yirmiyahu is not chastised for asking, for questioning, for seeking, or for pushing. When we feel this type of frustration with God, we are allowed by this perek and even encouraged to include that in our tefillot and conversations with God. Yirmiyahu gives us a template for our angst. Tzadik ata Hashem, ki ariv elecha. You, God, are righteous, but yet I will fight against you. We must start by acknowledging Hashem's goodness, and after that, we are allowed to say what our fighting thoughts are. And this is a gift that Yirmiyahu gives the Jewish people who read his Sefer, the gift of being allowed to be real with God, to tell Hashem what we feel, even when it's against him. To beg Hashem for answers to questions that we don't know, even when we don't get the answers, we're still allowed and encouraged to ask. The second part of the parak begins with Pasuk 7, where Hashem ruminates on how he feels towards Bnei Israel and their betrayal of him. Perhaps it follows as an explanation of why Hashem keeps giving Bnei Israel chances, but ultimately must punish them. The language that's used about Bnei Israel is full of love and intimacy. In verse 7, it says, Azavti et beiti, I left my house, I abandoned my Beit HaMikdash. Natashti et nachlati, I've deserted my possession, Bnei Israel. I've abandoned Eretz Israel. Natati et yedidut nafshi, bekaf aveha. And listen to these words. I've given over my dearly beloved people, my dearly beloved, into the hands of her enemies. The sadness and despair that's apparent as Hashem is forced to give over his beloved nation, his beloved lands, into the hands of the people who destroy it is apparent. The idea follows the theme of the parak before. Hashem is a loving father, the beginning of the previous parak. But Bnei Israel broke the breach. He will wait many years and give them many chances to return, but ultimately their covenant, the one they agreed to with their own mouths, must be fulfilled. To express his sadness, Hashem compares Bnei Israel to a number of animals. They are a lion roaring in the forest. They are hyenas. They are predatory birds on the hunt. It is Hashem, in this fascinating metaphor, who is the prey itself that's being devoured. It is God who is being hurt by Bnei Israel. They are the shepherds who trample vineyards. He is the vineyard being crushed. Yirmiyahu brings metaphor after metaphor which displays God as weak and Bnei Israel as strong. He wishes to convey how Hashem feels about his beloved people turning against him. In his love for them, he made himself weak. He gave them power over his emotions. This metaphor also explains that God has no choice. He isn't actually weak. wasn't actually prey, and now he must assert his strength and throw off those who wish to harm them, this case being Bnei Israel, and he will harm them as he was being harmed, and therefore will destroy them, their land, and their Beit HaMikdash. The predator-prey metaphor also links this parak to the previous one. There, Yirmiyahu described himself as a lamb being led to slaughter by the people of Anatot. Here, Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, I was the same way. I am also prey at the hands of Bnei Israel, not physically as Yirmiyahu was, but emotionally, as Bnei Israel rejected me also over and over. In the beginning of the parak, Yirmiyahu asked God, why do you not act like a god? You know people's thoughts. You know what they do in secret, so punish them. Hashem doesn't answer Yirmiyahu at the time. He says, you got to be stronger. It's going to happen again. But perhaps later in the parak, this is part of the answer. Hashem is not just a vengeful God. He is a loving father. He's not just a punisher. He's also a weak prey who wishes to push off the punishment as much as possible with the hopes that the people will repent. The parak ends with words of reconciliation. V'haya acharei natashti otam ashuv. After I have left them, I'll come back to them. V'richamtim, and I'll have mercy on them. V'hashivotim ish l'nachlato v'ish l'artzo. I'm going to return them, each person to his portion and each one to his land. V'haya im lamod yomadu et drachai et darkei imi li'ishaveh b'shmi. And this, if they can learn my ways, the ways of my nation, to swear in my name, Chai Hashem, Kasher limduat ami lihishaveh baal v'nivnu betoch ami. If they can only be as passionate about me as they were about their Baal worship, then they're going to be built amongst my nation. If the people can learn to once again come close to God, if they can take that, all of the energy that they had directed towards Baal and direct it now towards Hashem, then they can be built up as a great people once again. They'll leave their land, they'll be kicked out, but they'll be brought back. If not, if they don't learn this, then they will fade into oblivion like every other nation that has lived on the planet. All is not lost. There's still a chance. But the best thing to do would be to start on that path now. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilo Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.